I'm Josh. I'm the pastor in training at CBC, and I wanted to plug the barn dance again, if I may, and I got given permission, thankfully. I don't have a cool hat like Joe, but I did... Oh, it's... There we go, that makes sense. But I did wear my cowboy boots today to try and do a visual. It'd be great to come along and just have a good laugh together, some fellowship, and dancing around. I'm not going to commit a Texan sin and show you the pattern of the boots. You'll just have to imagine that. These boots, sadly, they weren't made for walking, but they were made for dancing. And where we are in Luke's gospel, we are following through Jesus' journey towards Jerusalem. So we are going to be in Luke 10 this morning, which is page 1041 in the blue Bibles here. And I wanted to just ask an opening question. How likely are you to help somebody out? You know, it's rhetorical. I'm not actually after an answer. But are you likely to do that with acts of charity? Maybe some favors? Could it be with your money, your time, even your pride? And as a follow-up, are you more likely to help somebody out if you know them? Or are you also likely to help somebody out if they're a stranger? Now, if you guys are like me, I find that incredibly hard, to be selfless and giving with my money, my time, and even my pride. And the reason I think that we find this so hard is because we naturally don't help others that aren't like us. I'll say that again. We naturally don't help others that are not like us. I want to unpack from the word this morning that because we have a love for our Lord Jesus, that we should love and help our neighbours. And that neighbour could be anybody, even a stranger or an enemy. And that is because Christ died for us, his enemy, and made us more than a neighbour, but a son. So let us read from God's word, from Luke 10, starting in verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm just going to pray, if that's okay. Lord Jesus, we need your help this morning. Holy Spirit, I submit to you in the words that I say. I pray that you effect heart change in us today, Lord, for our love of you to increase, and that would then affect how we look after other people, how we show love to those around us, people who we don't even know or people we don't even like. And Lord God, I need your help to communicate this. But in my weakness, your strength is displayed. And so I pray that will be so this morning. Affect us, I pray. Amen. Amen. I think many of us have come by experts before. Some might want to call them a know-it-all. You know, they ask questions maybe just to answer it themselves. You know, they love any chance to show off their knowledge. And here, Jesus is tested by such a person, an expert in the law. Now, this chap wouldn't have been a rabbi or a teacher necessarily, but he knew God's laws inside and out, like the back of his hand, or at least on paper. And like any expert would do, he wants to challenge, he wants to test somebody else. So he comes to Jesus and asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And I think this is a glimpse into this guy's heart. Luke tells us in these verses that he wanted to test Jesus. It wasn't necessarily a genuine question. And even his phrasing is quite interesting. What must I, an expert in the law who knows all of these things, what must I do to enter into paradise? So we can see that he's quite a proud guy. He thinks he's got everything sorted. And in response, Jesus asks him what would be quite a simple question for a man of his caliber to answer. What is written in the law? How do you read it? And this expert, he probably scoffs a little bit at the question, like, "I learned this when I was 12. And the answer would be to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind, with your soul and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He's quoting here from two books of the law, Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Okay, this verse from loving the Lord your God, within that context, God is saying to his people Israel, as they're about to enter into their promised land, if you keep me at the forefront of your mind and of your heart, it will go well with you. And then in Leviticus, what starts out as a list, God says, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." And to summarize how that plays out, how we are to be holy as God is holy, he says to love your neighbor as yourself. So he answers with flying colors, according to Jesus. He says, "Correct, do this, and you will live." But good luck with that. Good luck fulfilling all of that on your own. And clearly the guy wanted to, because it then says he wanted to justify himself and asks, "Who is my neighbor anyway? Who am I meant to count as my neighbor?" One commentator says this: "The only way to justify yourself is to limit the strength of God's law and the demand it puts on you so that you limit your own responsibility." In other words, you could try, but in doing so, you are going to actually not fulfill the law because you put your own boundary within it. And you're only going to stay within that boundary and not do the whole thing. You're trying to make yourself not responsible. And I think if we're not careful, we as Christians can become like this expert in the law. Okay, we see the law and we think we could justify ourselves by following it, but I'm going to do it my own way. Okay, I'm going to find loopholes. I will do it, but on my own terms. Jesus says this to likewise people who go to the law for answers instead of to God. From John chapter 5, he says this, Jesus speaking, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Friends, we can't justify ourselves. Okay, that's the wrong focus to have. Because having such a focus will actually limit how much we can love our neighbor. Many of us might fancy ourselves as a neighbor, such as this on the next slide. Might think of ourselves as a Ned Flanders type, if you've seen The Simpsons. You know, or maybe you'd like a neighbor such as him. Greets you every morning with a hardly holy neighborino. He always lets you borrow anything you want. He doesn't ask for it back. He's got great kids. They'll never kick a ball into your garden or through your kitchen window. Or maybe you'd want someone like Mr. Rogers living next door, a really kind old man who's just really pleasant to be around. You know, you just feel so warm and safe in his presence. You'd happily do anything for that man. And this is probably how the expert in the law thought of himself a little bit. He thought of himself as a really great neighbor. Perhaps we do as well. But we're actually, really, more like Homer Simpson. Instead, we are selfish. Okay, we take and we don't give back naturally. We are actually an awful neighbor to have around. If we are honest with ourselves, we are definitely more like Homer than we are Ned. Jesus, in answering this man's question, who is my neighbor? He tells a story. He tells a story about a man who is coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, which to this guy's mind is like, okay, that is a Jewish man. Okay, that is my identifier into the story, my insert. He's my neighbor for sure. Okay, this guy, he is my neighbor. He's just like me. But then an outrageous thing happens to this man on the road. As we just read, he's attacked. He is beaten, he is robbed, and left half for dead. Not fully dead. Wow, what a great neighbor. No, left half dead. All right, so he knows, okay, these guys aren't the neighbor either. And he is hopeful now, at this point, I reckon, for somebody to come help him. And the expert in the law is just thinking, where is he going with this? And as Jesus says, a priest comes onto the scene. Oh, thank goodness. We've finally got a hero coming in to save him. Surely he is going to help the guy. But instead, when the priest comes by and sees the man in need, he actually crosses over to the other side of the road and keeps walking. Oh, a Levite. Now he comes into the story. Someone who ministers in the temple, you know, like a greeter at the door on a Sunday morning or is helping out with teas and coffees and stuff. Like they are so friendly. This guy's going to help. But no, the same thing happens again. He sees the man and he crosses over to the other side. Now, this would have been really shocking for this man to hear, this expert in the law to hear. He would have likely happily said any of those guys were his neighbor. Okay, these guys were of high standing in Jewish culture. On a Saturday at temple, they were probably all smiles and pleasantries. But yet now, when he was in need, they wanted nothing to do with this guy. He would have thought that he would have loved to have a neighbor like these guys, but none of them helped him. Jesus was challenging this neighbor equals people like me mentality. Like I said, going from Jerusalem to Jericho, because a priest and a Levite are given as examples, they have probably been coming from worshipping at temple. Okay, and there was clearly then, Jesus addressing there's something wrong in their heart. If they've been praising their God, and yet that doesn't affect anything in the rest of their life, something is missing in that worship. And that is the same warning given to us as well. God really takes this thing seriously. Our love for him should reflect our love for others. As the Apostle John says in 1 John, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. John wrote that to Christians, by the way. So there's a warning for a Jewish man, for us as a Christian. I mean, what a shame if we believe in God's love, right? If we believe that God is all loving and yet we don't show that love to anybody in need. We may be thinking to ourselves, well, I wouldn't be like that guy. I wouldn't be like that priest or Levite. You know, I'd like to think I would help. But in this parable, Jesus is pointing out that we are more likely to be the person who will pass over onto the other side and not help. And what's shocking in this parable is that of all people that stops to help, it's not an upstanding member of society, but instead a Samaritan. And a Samaritan to a Jew, enemies, right? They would not get on. They would clash. These guys were from a different nation, practiced a different religion. They were an enemy. Total strangers. And yet, in this story that Jesus tells, when the priest and the Levite had come by, they'd cross over to the other side. We read in verse 33 that when the Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was and saw him, he took pity on him. And not only did he feel compassion for him, it's that same word, pity, compassion, he was moved to action. Verse 34, he uses his own supplies. It's thought that when he bandaged him, he would probably torn his own clothes to be able to do so. He cleaned his wounds with his wine and his oil. Perhaps that was his livelihood. He put the man on his own donkey and walked the rest of the way to take him to an inn. And what's wild, in verse 35, it says, the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. So this Samaritan didn't just put him in a hotel, leave, come back the next day to see how he was doing. It's implied that he stayed and cared for the man. And then he paid for any extra expense that he'd accrue while he went away. That is such sacrificial love. Where the priest and the Levite fails in this story, the Samaritan actually is the one to show love to a neighbor, as is commanded by God, which came at great cost to the Samaritan's money, his time, and his pride. As an enemy of a Jewish man, that would have cost him pride. And this is something that is noticeable. It's not the thing you would expect to have happened in that day. And I want to be clear that the point isn't that non-Christians are naturally good at doing charity than we are. Okay, that's not my point. The point of this example is to shock this expert and us into checking ourselves, to claim that we love God and his word, and yet it impacts us in no way in the rest of our life, flowing out into helping others. Then we need to check our hearts to see if we truly love God as much as we claim. Yeah, by golly, jammy dodges. If my enemy is willing to help someone like me, but I believe in a God of love, I should be loving to strangers and enemies too. That's what would be going through that expert's mind. But like I said earlier, we don't do this naturally. Okay, our neighbours aren't just people like us, aren't just fellow Christians, but could also be complete strangers or an enemy, because that person is also equally made in the image of God like we are. They deserve dignity and respect. Jesus challenges us to help those we may not even like. In our society, guys, Christians, in case you've not seen, we aren't really highly regarded anymore. We're often seen as hateful, even bigoted. How much would that stand out? Hey, if that's what people's perception is of us, that we claim that we cling to the truth of the gospel, we still demonstrate love, still giving people dignity, still being willing to help those that aren't like us. That will stand out as much as Samaritan helping a Jewish man would. That includes being sacrificial to those that despise us. And so, hoping that this man gets it, he gets the story, this expert, Jesus asks, who was the neighbor to this man? Was it the person that was from the same people, who worshipped at the same temple, who were really holy looking, or the yucky enemy Samaritan? And what does the expert answer in verse 37? The one who had mercy on him. So he wasn't as thick as we thought. Hey, he's able to follow a train of thought. He's able to follow this story. And Jesus says to him yet again, correct. Go and do likewise. Now, it would be awful if that is where I ended the sermon today. Okay, if your only takeaway was that, okay, I guess I just got to do better, you know, with a begrudging heart, trying to help people so that I could get eternal life. Like, I really hope this doesn't happen to you today, but imagine you leave out of those doors and you witness a car crash. Okay, it's awful, but you're the first there on the scene. And after this sermon, hopefully you're spurred into action maybe. And you run over to the burning vehicle and you offer out a hand to help the person out. And for some reason, as they're being dragged out, they ask you, why are you doing this? And you say through gritted teeth, the pastor told me to. You know, something's not gone right there. Okay, we are told to do this not out of compulsion. What was the first answer? What was the first part of the answer in verse 27 that the expert in the law gave? The first part was to love who? God. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. So really, loving our neighbor flows out of our love for God. Okay, and we need a heart change for that to happen. And thankfully, Jesus doesn't ask us to do something he didn't do himself. Kind of alluded to this earlier in verse 33, where it says that the Samaritan took pity on him. It's the same word for compassion. In the New Testament, that word is only ever applied to or felt by Jesus. It's the only time where it is not Jesus feeling compassion. We read an example of this in Matthew's Gospel. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So he was moved so inwardly in himself out of love that compassion comes out. It's something that's felt. And that's not insignificant, okay, that this Samaritan feels this certain way that Jesus alone feels in the New Testament books. Jesus had compassion on those who'd made themselves strangers, even enemies of God, which includes us. Okay, we have all sinned against our loving Creator. We have all decided to go our own way, maybe even try to justify ourselves. Our own sin hurts us, separates us from God. We are this man in the story who's been assaulted and left on the road. And when we are at our lowest point, though we made ourselves a stranger, an enemy to God, he is the one who steps into our mess and heals us and brings us dignity. In the book of Ezekiel, which is an Old Testament book, within the context, God is speaking to his city, Jerusalem. Jerusalem has gone astray. They've forgotten their true love of God, and it's not playing out. And he is reminding them of how he found them in the first place. And so I want to read from that for us to show how God steps into our mess and mends us. And we'll see comparisons with the Good Samaritan story. Feel free to close your eyes if that helps, just to consider how God finds us where we are and how he restores us, okay? On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for on the day you were born, you were despised. But then I passed by and saw you kicking about in your blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, live. And I made you grow like a plant of the fields, yet you were stark naked. Remember, this is God speaking. Later I passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant promise with you, declares the Sovereign Lord, and you became mine. I bathed you with water and washed the blood from you and put ointments on you. I clothed you in fine linen and covered you with costly garments. Does the language of what the Samaritan did in the story, does that sound familiar? Now, this Samaritan was so moved in this story by what God had done for him that flowed out into how he treated this enemy of his. And we see that fulfillment in Jesus. Jesus's blood shed for us on the cross that cleaned us of our sin, brought us into a relationship with him. It is through his Holy Spirit that he anoints us and brings us into one family and body. He put his own robe of righteousness onto us and bore our burdens to the cross. And the immeasurable debt that we owed, he paid for. That is all out of compassion for his creation that went astray. And this gracious Savior has promised to return for us to take us home. So that is why when we are told to love our neighbor, it is driven out of a love for God, for Christ, who did the most beautifully sacrificial thing for us. That is love demonstrated in action out of love for Jesus. That is what we are called to. That is rooted in what he did on the cross. I don't have a cross behind me here this morning, but I have a Bible for that illustration that we were doing earlier. So this speaks of his awesome power that he did for us on the cross. So when you come by that person in the fiery crash and you're pulling them out and they say, why are you doing this? We are actually not rooted in our own, oh, I must. I'm rooted in what he's done. Amen. And we pull them out to show the love that Christ had for us and has for them. And that doesn't have to happen in such a drastic form. I hope it doesn't happen to you guys today, or that somebody does get in a car crash nearby. But we are called so many ways to do this. I say again, love is demonstrated in action out of love for Jesus. This priest and Levite, when they came away from their worship, the worship they offered was missing something. Likewise for us, unless we know truly how desperate we are without God's compassion, our worship won't leave with us to our lives. Friends, are we truly worshiping God? Are we so impacted by what God has done for us? I pray that we would let God impact us as we leave those doors for our lives to overflow in love for him. We serve and help, not in compulsion, guys, but in the newness of the Spirit. Like I said, we can't do it naturally, but the Holy Spirit, when we ask him, he will effect a heart change in us. Lord, change me to be like you, to soften our hearts in compassion for others, so that when we do see somebody in need, somebody we don't know, whether that's a homeless person in town or in the city, or somebody comes knocking on your door one day, we wouldn't dismiss them. But we would pray for us to remember what Christ did for us so that we would be eager to help them, including people who we don't agree with. You know, somebody who you know struggles in sin areas of their life because they don't know Jesus, whether that is a relative who struggles with same-sex attraction, whether that is somebody who is very politically opposite to you, may we remember the God who loved his enemy, which was me, and gave himself for me. Or when we are presented with charity, how we could give and bless God with our finances, let's pray and ask the God who paid an immeasurable debt that we owed to see how we could be. We can't be as giving as that, but we could try. We could be sacrificial with our time, with our money, and our pride. So let's keep in mind the Savior that gave sacrificially for strangers, even his enemies, and made us sons and daughters, so that we can go and do likewise. And love our God, and love our neighbour out of love for Jesus. I'm just going to close with words from 1 John chapter 4. Speak over us. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. But whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Please join me in praying. Lord God, we confess that we aren't naturally good at loving you or loving our neighbour. In our weakness, God, we ask for you to change us. Lord, for those of us who know Christ this morning, may we be so impacted by what you've done for us that we would be moved out of love for you to love those around us, even strangers or enemies of ours. Lord, for those who don't know you this morning, I pray that they would see your love. Lord, to experience it fresh, to hear it fresh for the first time, Holy Spirit, as you put that into hearts, to see what a loving God we have that is willing to step in and help us and forgive us when we did not deserve it, nor could we offer anything to repay you. But Lord God, as a humble offering of worship to you, help us to love others. Whatever that looks like, Lord, in action, deed, with our money, with our time, with our dignity, Lord, may we lay it all at your feet and ask that you use it to bring about heart change in others, to experience the goodness that we have known through Jesus Christ. We ask for this for your glory, Lord, not ours. We ask for it for the Son to be glorified. Yes. Holy Spirit, we need your help to do this. In your name I pray. Amen.